Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. I thank God for this day that he has made. I am rejoicing and glad in it. I do not own the rights to Israel moving forward. And I use hallelujah in thankfulness that he brought me through so many things. I can only say thanking God this morning. For Israel Houghton, hallelujah, and a Kirk Franklin, whose music, and a Frederick Wilson II, whose music got me through, hallelujah, some rough days in my life. I thank all of you, great men of God, who listen to God with words to soothe the soul. All I can say is we have to ask God to guide us, to refine us, to redeem us. But it comes from a confession and repent of our sins and transgressions. God sees everything, and he wants the best for his children. But we sometimes mess up ourselves by not following what God says do. This morning I was in prayer on a title for today's lesson, and all through the night in my dreams I heard redemption comes from repentance. Redemption comes from repentance. I heard it 3 times in my dreams. And I just say today, as we pray, Father God, you know everything in our life. You know our good, our bad, our ugly. You know what we've done, seen and unseen. You know all our sins, God. And this morning, before I absolutely go into your word, I say, forgive me, Lord, any sins I've committed in thought, word, or deed. I ask you to cleanse me with this, oh God, that I may be redeemed in your sight. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For I am your daughter. I make mistakes. Ask you, Lord God, to help me to clean up, to be better today than I was yesterday. Father God, I pray for all those that are in need this morning. You know my niece has had a blowout in her car, but I thank you, Lord, that not one person was hurt. And I ask you, Lord, to give her favor. Favor for a good shepherd to come along and change her tire. A good shepherd to come along and help her and her children as they navigate the highway, oh God. Let someone see her distress and help her. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. As we say, I thank you, Lord, that no thieves have broken in and no fires have broken out. thank you, Father God, that you have given us redemption from our sins and transgressions. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us a new day that you didn't have to give us because somebody did not wake up in this world today, oh God. We thank you, Father, for your gifts, for your love, for your kindness, for your grace. Your grace, Lord, that surpasses all understanding. We thank you, God, for your love. And Lord God, as we ask forgiveness for our sins and transgressions, we thank you, Lord, and repentance on our part. We thank you, Lord, for redeeming us with the blood of Jesus, our Savior who died on Calvary's cross for our horrible sins. Lord God, I ask you to bless our nations, oh God. Guide us in the way that we should go. And help us not to depart from your grace. Help us to treat each other with the love that Jesus spoke, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, help us to love ourselves so we can love others. Guide us, oh Lord, with your grace. I pray as you increase and I decrease. And thank you for being my Redeemer, my Savior, my friend, my Daddy God. I thank you, God, this morning, and ask your prayers, ask your grace over my pastor and her grandbaby as they travel the highway and then skyway. Lord, let their destination be a fun destination. Let everything work for their good. Let every flight be on time. Let them enjoy time together. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I give you honor and I give you glory. For there is no name greater than your name. Hallelujah. For you are Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider, Lord God. And all we can say is thank you. Thank you for provision. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for covering us in your loving wings. And Lord, I ask you again, please watch over those that are in need today. Give them favor in Jesus' name. Amen. A little hoarse this morning, but all is well. Hallelujah. Giving it all to God. Giving it all to God. I am thankful. Whew, I didn't get a lot of sleep on Saturday night, but I slept good last night. Ooh, I got a yawn here. But God woke me up this morning with a pep in my step. Hallelujah. And a word in my heart. And all I can say is thanking God today. You know, we are still in 2 Chronicles. We'll be in chapter 32 this morning to 33. And I will not be vlogging at 7 in the morning. I have a doctor's appointment. Got to get my teeth checked. You know how we do. Got to go to the dentist. And I happen to like my hygienist. I just be honest. And so the only time she could see me was at 7 a.m. So I will be in a dentist chair at this time tomorrow morning. So what God put on my heart was to still do the blog, but we will not be together until 8:30 tomorrow morning. 8:30 tomorrow morning Central Time, which will be 9:30 Eastern Time, and right at 7:30 or 6:30 actually Western time. So I thank all of you for adjusting your time tomorrow morning again. Tomorrow we will be vlogging at 8:30 instead of 7 o'clock because I got a dentist appointment. And I know you're like, that's TMI, Pastor Bridget. This TMI, we did not need to know that you got to go get your teeth taken care of. But I like having all my teeth, so I'm thankful for a great doctor and great dentist. I'm thankful that God has given me a great periodontist to make sure my gums are healthy and my implant can be put back in. One implant, but all my teeth. And I thank God. So I had to take an implant out. So because of bones, honey, we all got to play. Don't mess around with your teeth. I'm just saying this. You know, brush your teeth. You know, floss. Take care of your teeth. God gave us these teeth for a reason. And we need to take care of them. Just like you take care of your body, you got to take care of your teeth. You know, I am a firm believer that when you take care of what God has given you, your teeth and all your body organs, God takes care of you, because this body, we only have one, and God gave it to us, and we need to take care of it. So thank you, God, again. But the teeth that I have and the fact that I love to smile, because he's given me a heart of happiness. So I am happy this morning. As the kids say, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. I am happy and I'm thankful. So let's get into our word this morning. Our title is coming, Second Chronicles. We all know about Hezekiah. We read about him in Kings, you know, our Anne and Isaiah. So we know that he had some things he went through. You know, we got to understand that nobody's perfect. But the one thing that Hezekiah did was repent. He repented. God redeemed him. God did not take his kingdom in his time. He gave him 15 more years because of repentance and prayer. We must ask God to forgive us. We have to forgive ourselves. We got to confess our sins. Lord, I overate. Lord, I did this. Lord, I did that. Whatever you did, confess it to God and ask for forgiveness. Confession is good for the soul. And as we get into this word, it says in chapter 32 of Second Chronicles, after these deeds of faithfulness, Shalmaneser, our Kareb, king of Assyria, came and entered Judah. He encamped against a fortified city, thinking to win them over to himself. And when Hezekiah saw that the Shalmaneser, and I'm probably pronouncing it incorrectly, but I pronounce it as Shalmaneser, had come, and that his purpose was to make war against Jerusalem, he consulted with the leaders and commanded to stop the water from the springs which were outside the city, and they helped him. Thus many people gathered together who stopped all the springs, the brooks that ran through the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? And he strengthened himself, built up all the wall that was broken, raised it up to the towers, and built another wall outside. Also, he repaired the millow in the city of David and made weapons and shields in abundance. Then he set military captains over the people, gathered them together to him and in the open square of the city gate, and gave them encouragement, saying, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him. For there are more than us with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us in the Lord our God, to help us and to fight our battles. Hallelujah. He had a bad spirit, did he not? He's like, this battle is not mine. It's the Lord's. And we have to have that spirit as well. But we fight our battles as well, but we don't fight against flesh and blood. Hallelujah. We know we do not. We have to have our Father God and his army to fight for our sins, fight for our salvation, fight for our lives. We are sons and daughters of God, and our daddy fights for us in the spiritual realm. He is the Father. He is God. He is the head of heaven's armies, and he fights in the spiritual realm against darkness for us. Hallelujah. Our daddy is light. And we are sons and daughters of light. We don't walk in darkness. We walk in the light. of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for his love. Again, I got to say it one more time. As our God says, as we talk to his kingdom and talk to his people, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. God fights for us. Hallelujah. Can you say, thank you, Lord, for fighting for me? Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, that you love me enough to fight my battles. For I am your daughter. I am your son. I am yours, and you are mine, and you love me more than I could ever love myself. Thank God this morning for us. Thank God this morning that he loves us so much and that he wants the best for us. In the name of Jesus, we give ourselves away so our daddy God may use us for his glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory, of the honor, of the praise. Hallelujah. It makes you want to shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I just thank God this morning. I'm in a thankful mood. For I know that my God can do all things but fail. In the name of Jesus, I give myself away for the Lord God to use me today. Use me, Lord. Use me. Use me. Lord, use me. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The Lord goes before us today. And as it goes on to say in verse number 9, after this, Shalrib, king of Assyria, sent his servant to Jerusalem, but he and all the forces with him laid siege against Lachish. So Hezekiah, king of Judah, and to all Judah who were in Jerusalem, saying, thus said Shalrib, king of Assyria, in what did you trust that you remain under siege in Jerusalem? Does not Hezekiah persuade you to give yourself over to die by famine and by thirst, saying, the Lord our God will deliver us from the hand of the king of Assyria? Has not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, you shall worship before one altar and burn incense on it? Do you not know what I and my fathers have done to all the people of other lands? Were the gods of the nations of those lands in any way able to deliver their lands out of my hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people from my hand, and that your God should be able to deliver you from my hand? Now, therefore, do not let Hezekiah deceive you or persuade you like this, and do not believe him. But no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people from my hand, of the hand of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you from my hand? Are you talking a whole lot of trash? Just think he got it going on. He don't know our God, does he? He don't know what our God can do. But he's going to find out. Let's keep reading. Furthermore, his servant spoke against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. He also wrote letters to revile the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nation of other lands have not delivered their people from my hand, so the God of Hezekiah will not deliver his people from my hand. Then they called out with a loud voice in Hebrew to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall to frighten them and trouble them, that they might take the city. And they spoke against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth, the work of men's hands. Now, because of this, King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, prayed and cried out to heaven, then the Lord sent an angel who cut down every mighty man of valor, leader and captain in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned shamefaced to his own land. And when he had gone into the temple of his God, some of his own offspring struck him down with the sword there. Don't play with God. That's all I'm saying. I know my daddy God don't play. So why are you going to talk all that trash? Talking about, well, we done did this and we done did that and we done went over and we done took lands from every other little G God. But see, they hadn't met the big G. They hadn't met the God that created the heavens and the earth. They had not met the God that put breath in the body of man, created him, male and female. He created them in his own image. Hallelujah. God don't play. And when my daddy God went up against him, he found out my daddy God has angels who fight and who don't play. And what happened? Got struck down and then murdered by his own children. Don't play with God. I'm telling you now, don't play with daddy God, because he's got it going on. And he protects us. He watches over us. He gives us everything we need and more than we could ever ask for. Whoa, hallelujah. Or thank God this morning for his grace. Thank God this morning for his love. Thank God this morning for hope in the future. But he is in charge of everything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It says, thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Shurin and Sharib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others, and guided them on every side. And many brought gifts to the Lord to Jerusalem to present to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was exalted in the sight of all nations thereafter. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and he prayed to the Lord, and he spoke to him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, he and his inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of that Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. In other words, they had to humble themselves and repent. Because redemption comes repentance. We got to repent before we can be redeemed. Hallelujah. Hezekiah had very great riches and honor, and he made himself treasuries for silver, for gold, for precious stones, for spices, for shields, and for all kinds of desirable items, storehouses for the harvest, grain, wine, and oil, stalls for all kinds of livestock, and foes for flocks. Moreover, he provided things for himself and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance. But God had given him very much property. This same Hezekiah also stopped the water outlet of Upper Gihon and brought the water by tunnel to the west side of the city of David. Hezekiah prospered in all his works. However, the ambassadors of the prince of Babylon. And this is where he messed up. Not for himself, but for his descendants. This is where he made a mistake. He didn't ask God. He was being prideful and a braggart. He was bragging about all he had, and I'm going to show off my stuff. And what happened? Not in his time, but in the time of his descendants. They lose it all, including themselves, to Babylon. So let's read and see what happens here. However, regarding the ambassadors of the prince of Babylon, whom they sent to him to inquire about the wonder that was done to the land, God withdrew from him in order to test them, that he might know all his heart. Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness, indeed, they are written in the vision of Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, and in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. So Hezekiah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the upper tomb of the sons of David. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem honored him at his death. that Manasseh, his son, reigned in his place. But let's go back to Hezekiah. And we got this all in the book of Kings. It's written out. He took them through his whole kingdom, showed them all his stuff. And then they came back after his death and took his children, took them all to Babylon because of his bragging spirit. And he had a heart was, well, it ain't going to happen in my time. Went on about his business, but he did ask for forgiveness. He did ask to be redeemed. He repented and humbled himself before God, and God gave him a second chance. God is a God of all kinds of second chances. You know, we have to pray for those that we see that don't look the way they used to look because drugs have ravaged their bodies. We got to pray for those that may be homeless. Yes, some of it by their own doing. Some of it not. We got to give it over to God because some of us just mess up, keep messing up. But we got to ask God, Lord, forgive us, guide us, and show us the way, Lord, because we mess up. But we need you, Jesus. We need to be repentant and humble before God. And let's go back to a couple of life lessons because I don't want to miss out on this. And it says in life lesson for 2 Chronicles 32 and 3, he consulted with his leaders and commanded to stop the water from the springs which were outside the city. Hezekiah not only prayed to God for deliverance when the Assyrians advanced against him, he also took wise action. Faithful believing prayer does not encourage passivity or inaction. When God says do something, you got to do it. Because sometimes we're not getting the blessings because we haven't done the work. We are not getting the blessings because we haven't done the work. And it goes on to tell us in this life example. And I thank Dr. Stanley. And again, we are coming this year out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I will tell every believer, every one of you that listen to this blog, this is a Bible that you need to buy. You need to have it in your biblical arsenal. We all, and they do have it in King James for my King James reader. If you want to get it in King James, they do have it in King James. I am in the New King James Version, but they have it in King James. They have it in NIV, and they have it in New King James. And I'm not sure if they have it in NLT, but they may. But I tell you, it is so worth having. This Bible is a great word to have every day. We're just the ones that are reading it to you. But if you want it for yourself on the days we're not together on Saturdays, get it. Read it. Even though we all do a Saturday word, half of it on Friday and the other half on Sunday. But it's worth having to get this Bible. And my disclaimer again, I am not being paid by In Touch Ministries. I'm not being paid by Dr. Charles Stanley to hawk this Bible. I am speaking from my heart. It is worth it. It's worth buying. It's worth having. It's worth gifting. This is a awesome daily Bible. And I pray that you are hearing it and wondering, where is she getting her stuff from? That's where I get it from. That's where I get my life lessons. That's where I get my life examples from Dr. Stanley. And I tell you, he is a true man of God. You feel it when you read it. His examples and his lessons. You feel it when you hear him speak. This is a genuine man of God. And I tell you, this Bible is worth having. You know, your biblical instruction before leaving earth, he gives us an example of how to get where we need to go, to repent, to be redeemed. Hallelujah. And as we go into this life example, it's a feeble armor pledge to the Assyrian invader, Shurin-Sharib. In Jerusalem was no problem. After all, Shurin-Sharib, forces had already conquered the majority of 45 cities in Judah, and had no reason to think that Jerusalem would be any different. The odds were definitely in Assyria's favor. Yes, Cherie failed to factor in that had always saved Judah in the past, and that was the aid of the Lord God. However, King Hezekiah of Judah had not forgotten the faithfulness of God, and he encouraged the people by saying, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitudes that is with him, for there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and fight our battles." Hallelujah. He had a Joshua moment, because Joshua was told, "Be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you always." God is with you always. Wherever you go, the Lord is with you. And we have to stand on that word that God is with us. All he says is be strong and courageous. We can't walk in fear. We must walk in faith. Remember Hezekiah's wise words. Whenever you face obstacles and troubles that are far bigger than you could possibly handle, your God is with you and he will fight your battles. The arm of flesh is always weak and inadequate against the limitless power of the living God. In fact, the arm of flesh eventually returns to death. But God is eternal and will never fail you. Hallelujah. History shows that God defeated Shadrach, Meshach, and sent him shamefaced to his own land. God will defeat your troubles as well. However, you must remain strong and courageous, trusting God in every circumstance and obeying whatever he says. His resources never fall short, and his wisdom cannot be outmatched. God's help is real and available to you today. Will you trust him? I'm trusting God for favor for my family. I'm trusting God for favor for my extended family. I'm trusting God for favor for my own household. I know what my daddy God can do, and I know that he is a provider. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, you're worthy of the honor, glory, and praise. I'm just shouting this morning because I know what my God can do. 2 Chronicles 32:31. God withdrew from him in order to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. The Babylonian ambassadors came to hear about the miracle God had done in Judah. Hezekiah instead showed them his riches. Pride can take root in the most faithful of hearts. The only antidote is humility. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Proverbs 29:23. What might have happened had the king boasted to them about God and not about himself? Can y'all say amen? And as we go back into our word this morning, we are back in 2 Chronicles 33. It says, Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. But he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah's father had broken down. He raised up altars for the Baals and made wooden images. And he worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem shall my name be forever." And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Also, he caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the sons of Hanan. He practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft and sorcery, and consulted mediums and spiritualists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He even set a carved image, the idol, which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever, and I will not again remove the foot of Israel from the land which I have appointed for your fathers. Only they are careful to do all that I have commanded. Did y'all catch that? Only in there. Only if they are careful to do all that I have commanded them according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinance by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh seduced Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. Understand, a bad leader can take people down the total wrong path. They can have folks doing everything that they would never in their right mind do. We got to be careful that you don't make leaders into idols to do whatever they do because you like what they say. Wrong is wrong and right is right. And believe me, don't think anybody's skating from doing wrong because we all will pay for our sins. And we all got to stand before God. Don't play with God, and God ain't going to play with you. And it goes on to tell us, and the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen. Therefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks bound him with bronze fetters and carried him off to Babylon. Now when he was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed to him. And he received his entry, heard his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem into the kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. After this, he built a wall outside the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley as far as the entrance of the fish gate and enclosed Ophel. And he raised it to a very great height. Then he put military captains in all the fortified cities of Judah. He took away the foreign gods and the idols from the house of the Lord and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and he cast them out of the city. He also repaired the altar of the Lord, sacrificed peace offerings and thanks offerings on it, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people still sacrificed on the high places, but only to the Lord their God. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, his prayer to his God, and the words of the seers who spoke to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, indeed they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. Also his prayer and how God received his entry and all his sins and trespasses, and the site where he built high places and set up wooden images and carved images before he was humbled. Indeed, they are written among the sayings of Hosea. So Manasseh rested with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house. Then his son Amon reigned in his place. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. For Amon sacrificed to all the carved images which his father Manasseh had made and served them, and he did not humble himself before the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done and humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more. Then his servants conspired against him and killed him in his own house. But the people of the land executed all those who had conspired against King Amon. Then the people of the land made his son Josiah king in his place. So Josiah became king in the place of his father. But again, what did Manasseh do? He humbled himself and he repented to receive redemption from God. Redemption comes from repentance. 2 Chronicles 32:31, life lesson. God withdrew from him in order to test him that he might know all that was in his heart. As we talked about, King Hezekiah lost his way. His son lost his way. But they both repented, humbled themselves before the Lord in order to get redemption. And as we go back, we go into Psalms 85. It says, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Right in point, was it not? Because that's what happened. Manasseh turned back to folly of his grandfathers and fathers and all those that had come before him, turned back to the wickedness of those that had died in sin. You know, he did not learn the lessons from history, but I say this, history unknown is history repeated. We've got to tell the truth so we don't have the same problems we had yesterday. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. Psalm 58, 85, and 8 says this, he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Salvation not only rescues us from the penalty of our sins, it delivers us from the impulse to practice our sins. Paul says, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, Philippians 3 and 16. And as Proverbs 21 and 12 tells us, the righteous God wisely considers the house of the wicked, overthrowing the wicked for their wickedness. When you don't ask for forgiveness, when you don't repent from your sins, when you don't humble yourself before the Lord to be redeemed, the righteous God wisely considers the house of the wicked, overthrowing the wicked for their wickedness. Come on now, I don't want to go to hell, and I'm sure that you don't either. We need to make sure ourselves, our houses, our minds, our spirits, that our spiritual house is in order. We got to get it right for God. Hallelujah, because God does not play. Ask the Assyrians and so many others that came before and after them. Don't mess with God and don't mess with his people, because eventually the chickens will come home to roost. And you'll wonder why this is going on, because you did not repent. You did not ask for forgiveness for the wickedness of your sins. Unknown history is repeated history. Remember that in your spirit, because God gave me that. You got to repent. Acts chapter 20, verse 17 through 38. From Miletus, he sent to Euphrates. I'm sorry, let's start this over. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And we're talking Paul now. We're in our New Testament words. And Paul is doing his travels. Paul is doing his missionary and evangelical work. Paul is doing his assignment, changing people's lives and bringing as many to Christ as he can. He's on his way to his death, and he knows it. And he's trying to do everything he can do before that time. And it goes on to tell us, and when they had come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Now I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from the house to house, testifying to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the spirit of Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Did you catch that? Paul was giving us a future reference that's going on right now. For I know after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. False prophets, false teachers, they're out there, all of them talking the same nonsense, not a one opening the word of God. They're talking to get and not to save souls. We got to understand and ask God, show me the wolves. Show me the ones that are teaching a false word, that are not opening your word, that are teaching what they want to teach and not what that says the Lord. We got to go to the word of God, and whatever God's word tells us, that's what we listen to. If somebody's telling you to do something that you know in your heart is not right, don't do it. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Don't find yourself in the Guyanas of the world. Dead because you drank the Kool-Aid. Dead because you followed a false prophet. Dead because you didn't listen to the voice of God. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Come on now. Everything the word of God is saying is stuff that we're seeing today. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. Paul said, hey, I'm a tent maker. I'll make tents. Wherever I go to work. I work for God and I work for sustenance because I understand the way that if a man don't work, he don't eat. Paul is letting them know, I didn't ask you for anything. I did it all. I worked myself. Not that I did, but God did it for me. God gave me a skill to use so that I can work for the kingdom but still have sustenance. God provides for us. He gives us everything we need. He gives us that side gig while we work the work that he has called us to work. We got to do what we got to do for God. And again, I'm saying this because you have so many folks that don't want to pay tithes, don't want to give an offering, don't want to do anything for the house of God because the pastor's getting this and the pastor's getting that. If it's a genuine pastor doing what God called them to do, yes, some will be prosperous because they wrote books, they did other things, they have jobs, and most have jobs that sustain them. Full-time pastors, that's a rarity. They have no other income but the church. I would say most have other jobs that sustain their families. And those that do not, the church should take care of them. You're supposed to. You're supposed to take care of your pastors. You're supposed to take care of their families. You're supposed to help your pastors succeed, so they can do their job for God. And it goes on to tell us, yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm believing God that his word is true, that you got to give to receive. You got to care about others besides yourself. But we are humble servants of the Lord, and we got to act like it. And then it says, and when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the word which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. He went back on a tour of all the places that he had gone to bring salvation. And he wanted to see them all one last time because he knew that he was not going to make it back. He knew that once he had run, because that's what God had ultimately told him, he was going to have to go. And he knew once he got there, he was not going to leave Rome, that he was going to die, that his life would be forfeited. And he was ready. And he knew his assignment. And when we go back to Acts life lessons, it says this in Acts 20 and 24, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. Paul found his life by losing it and loved his life by not counting it dear. He had learned from his Savior to love God's will over everything else. And he realized that obeying him yielded the greatest choice. Acts 20 and 27, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Why would we ever hesitate to declare the whole counsel of God? Because some of it is not very popular. Some of it requires a change in behavior. Some of it is inconvenient. But to avoid it leads to destruction. Oh, tell me, you got to listen. I have not shown to declare to you the whole counsel of God. And as we go to Acts 20 and 35, it says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. None of the four canonical gospels record this saying of Jesus. Apparently, it circulated among the disciples and eventually made its way to Paul. But it carries just as much authority as the Lord's other saying. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that is our word today. And again, another church announcement for those that are just joining us. We will not be broadcasting tomorrow morning at 7. It will be a 8:30 vlog. I will be coming back to you tomorrow at 8:30. And excuse me, I'm sorry. It will be 9 o'clock. Okay, guys. We will be broadcasting tomorrow at 9 a.m. I thought it was going to be 8:30, and God just told me in my spirit as I was speaking, 9 o'clock. So tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock will be the blog for tomorrow. I have a dentist appointment at 7 a.m. Central Time, so I will not be available. And God said 9 o'clock, and so 9 o'clock it will be. So tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock a.m., please come and join me. Tell a friend that may not get up at 7 and able to listen in that we are coming forth tomorrow at 9 o'clock. So again, tomorrow, 9 a.m. instead of 7 a.m. We will be 2 hours later because I have got to go to the dentist. And I'm going to do what I got to do to take care of these teeth that God gave me. So I thank God for his grace. I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his goodness and for his kindness. I thank God for each and every one of you. And before we get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word from Sister Carolyn is this morning. The safest place in the world to be is in the will of God. And did we just not just talk about the will of God? Sister Carolyn is always right on point. God gives her that word, and I tell you, she takes it and goes. And I thank God for the word this morning. And I say one more time, in order to be saved, we got to repent. We got to humble ourselves like Hezekiah. We got to humble ourselves like his son, Manasseh. We got to ask God to forgive us, and let's call it straight. Manasseh was awful. He did some horrible, horrible things, but he was forgiven by God. And we think that we may have done some horrible, horrible things, but understand that when you repent and humble yourself before God, he will give you redemption. And our prayer for this morning, coming out of our 365 Days of Prayer for Life book, the prayer for this 18th day of July is this. We are just tooling right along in this year. Before you know it, it will be time to start over. It'll be a whole new year. And it says this, God bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Number 6, 24 through 26, NIV benediction. And it says, Lord, you are the best giver in the entire universe. It makes sense when I consider that all of creation is your design. When you dreamed up this world, I wonder what you saw in the clarity of your creativity. There is no question of your investment. You gave everything so we could rightly know you in all your loving kindness. Today, bring revelation that comes from seeing you in a new and fresh way. Lord, shine on me with the light of your grace. Look toward me with your kindness and grant me peace. Bless me with your support and keep me safe in the space you inhabit. You are everything I long for. There is nothing of more worth than you. There is so much to be grateful for. Where do I start? In your life, I have found my own. I had nothing lasting to live for before. Thank you for a hope and a future that is bright. I thank God today for his blessings. I thank God today that he has redeemed us through our repentance. I thank God that he gave us hope in the future. I thank God for his love, for his kindness, for his grace. And as I pray this morning, I pray that the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other, Jesus Christ. In the holy name, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed, family. Be blessed. And if you have got something you need to say, say it to God. Take it to the throne and not the phone. And watch God work in your life and give you hope in the future. Thank God this morning that he gave you breath in your body and a pimp in your step, because God is good and he loves more than we could ever imagine. Thank you so much, family. It's a wrap. It's time to go to work. Remember, again, church announcement. We will be on tomorrow at 9 a.m. instead of our normal 7 a.m. Thank you so much. Be blessed and have a great and wonderful day, knowing that you are a child of God, where redemption comes repentance. Be blessed, family. It is around.